Hey, tonight we're going to talk about water baptism. We're in Hebrews chapter 6. For those that are in the blue book, you are in chapter 9. So you want to find the chapter that says water baptism in chapter 9. I don't think it was a really good idea drinking San Pellegrino. I have gas. I'm burping. We do have these available if you want to purchase these littler books, these smaller books, but we also do have the blue books and the red books. We have the full gambit of everything available for you if you want to buy one. If you're online and you want to is anybody watching online, Brother Kenny? Hi, everybody. Who are you? If you could do me a favor, if you could send us, Brother Terry, can you go grab me my cell phone, please? And if you could send us a Facebook message, I'd love to know who's watching. I think it's great. Throughout the week, we have more people watch, but I'd love to be able to hear. Brother Kenny, how hard would it be to do a Facebook Live on this? So can we schedule it in the next few weeks? Maybe not next week, but the week after? Awesome. So whoever you are, the four that are watching, if you could please just send us a Facebook message, either His Tabernacle and or Michael Spencer, that would be great. I'd love to greet you. Thank you, Brother Terry. Isn't he a handsome young man? Okay, here we go. Does everybody have it? Is everybody with me? All right, here we go. Water baptism. The book is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says this, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. How many of you went to elementary school? 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 by 4 = 8 × 8 = 64 × 64 =. Oh, you see everybody's eyes roll back in their head. Hallelujah. Elementary school. This is elementary school. These are the chapters that we're covering right now in Hebrews chapter 6 that I, as your pastor, want you to know. Because these are the basics. Most believers don't know these basics. There are people who have been saved 40, 50 years and been in church. They do not know their basics. So you've got to know your basics. It's imperative. Because if you don't know your basics, how can you go on to greater lengths Hi, Paul Musi. Paul Musi's watching live stream. Can you give Paul Musi a hand clap? There you go. Hi, Paul. We love you. Thank you for watching, man. Elementary principles. Let's go on to maturity. Tell somebody to grow up, please. Where's your husband? I thought you were going to get him.
No, he's
going to
be late.
He's going to be late. That was your moment. I gave you a moment just to tell him to grow up. It didn't work. He's not here. Not even here.
He wouldn't listen to me.
That's true. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So last week, we gave you the definition of repentance. Repentance is?
Turning the opposite way.
Correct. You're going this way. Repentance is turning around. That means if you're born again, you should be different. If you're not different, something's wrong. I didn't say perfect, but you should be different. So if you are living the same way, acting the same way, doing the same stuff as you did before you got saved, just because you said the little prayer, mainly what it's showing is that there was not a conversion. We talked about conversion, and that is that something is converted from one to the other. When I go to Mexico, glory be to Jesus, man, this is the time to go to Mexico right now. It's 19 to 1. So you go to every dollar of ours worth $19 of there. So when I go down there, I do a conversion. I take, let's just say $100, and I'll convert that $100 to 19,000. No, 1,900 pesos. You can buy a lot with 1,900 pesos. But the problem is when you come back to the United States, you got to convert. So that means it goes from one to another. So when you get born again, you are converted. You are no longer living the same way. You're no longer acting the same way. Like I said, God might not deliver you of everything the same day. Most of the time he doesn't. I have found a few folks that literally were completely different the next day. They were not even close to being the same individual. But most of the time, how many of you know you have had more than one vice at a time? How many of you smoked and swear and, you drank and, you did all the, you did six or seven things at the same time. And when you got converted, man, you got delivered from like five or six of them. From two or three of them. You said you had two or three things that you carried along for a little bit and then you dropped them off too. You were converted. You were changed. And you were changed by faith towards God. Now, the next is called the doctrine of baptisms. This is very important because you'll notice that this is plural and not singular. How many baptisms are there? Correct. There are three baptisms. What are they? Water, Holy Spirit, and fire. Okay? We don't cover the baptism of fire here. I don't have that in the book. But I have water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Next week, we're going to cover the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the tongues. And this week, we're going to cover water baptism. There's a large, twisted, warped mentality of water baptism. And actually, I grew up in it. And actually, I used to teach it. I used to teach water baptism for what it is not. And so tonight, I want to make sure that you understand what water baptism is. So water baptism is the plan of God, and it is very important because water baptism was the plan of Christ. Now, what water baptism is not, it is not getting sprinkled as a child. Catholics, Episcopalians, what are some of the isms? Lutheranism, these different belief systems believe that when you are baptized as a child, which is sprinkling, that you are now baptized into the church and now you are going to heaven. Now, the problem with that is, number one, it's not biblical. Number two, it gives a false sense of security. Wouldn't it really stink if you were taught your whole life that if you got baptized as a child, that you are now going to heaven and then you ended up in the lake of fire? And you said, what am I doing here? I got baptized in the church. And Jesus says, no. You're not saved by the church. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation is not by water baptism. So really, let's be honest, and I don't want to offend anybody, but the truth is if you are being taught that or were taught that in the church, in fact, I'll be a little bit more blunt than this, the churches that teach this are teaching false doctrine. It's called heresy. Any church that teaches water baptism gets you into heaven is heretical, which means it's heresy, which means it's false doctrine. Because that's not what the Bible says. So it's important that you know that. There are a bunch of people out there, some of your friends that you're going to do ministry to, when you start sharing Christ, they're going to tell you, well, I grew up, and they're going to say there ism, and I'm already going to heaven. In fact, I was confirmed. These are the terminologies they'll use. The difficulty is that they don't realize, they really genuinely do not know that that does not get them to heaven. They really believe. That's what they were taught. People believe what they're taught. That's why I always teach you, and that's why I always teach you to check out what I'm teaching. Because you got to know that I'm not teaching falsity, that it's in the Bible. So there are a lot of people that teach these main isms. In fact, I went to the one, I told you about that last week. I went to one, it was Episcopal. When they baptized that child, they then said, now this child is baptized into the church and is now going to heaven. It took me everything to stay in that chair, everything. I really wanted to jump up and say, that's a lie from hell.
I don't know if they still do it, but I know at one time, having people in the temple, they used to allow a lot of pastors and nuns and go into the NICU if they thought a baby was close to dying.
And baptize him.
So they would go to heaven.
Yes.
If they didn't get there in time,
Yes. And you know who else does that is the Mormon Church, which is a cult. The Mormon Church actually, at the temple, when you have the right to go into the temple, you'll not only be baptized, but you'll not only be baptized, but you'll also stand in proxy to baptize other people and stand in proxy to be married, especially if you're a woman, because women need to be married within the Mormon Church. Your position in the Mormon Church is reproduction. We'll move on. I don't have time. Now, there's also a falsity that says this. The other falsity says that if you are not baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you are not going to heaven. And I want you to know that that also is not true. Whoop, hold on. I've been watching online quite a bit and monitoring the audio. There's been weeks where you're either extremely distorted or barely heard. I'd rather be in person. Okay. Yeah. So, I agree. So, it's important to know, in fact, I had somebody say, well, you were not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so you weren't actually baptized. There's actually a whole nother church that teaches if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not going to heaven. So if you get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Very interesting, isn't it? So you'll see if you come to the baptismal tank when we baptize, I mix them all up just for the fun of it. I'll baptize somebody in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We'll baptize the next one in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it has nothing to do with just the name. It has to do with the personage of Christ and what God is doing in your life while you're being water baptized. It is not a religious thing. This is a supernatural act of God in our lives. So the people that say that if you're not baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's not valid. It is not true. Another falsity. So number one, falsity is that if you're baptized, you're going to heaven. That's a falsity. The second falsity about water baptism is that if you're not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or not baptized in the name of Jesus, you can't go to heaven. San Pellegrino. Or number three, that if you get water baptized, you're only showing on the outside what happened on the inside. So it becomes more of a ritual. And these are not what God's plan is for water baptism. Water baptism is always, shout this, always a supernatural act of God. So all these denominations, all these religions, they've made water baptism something that it's not at all. And so we need to know what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. Not what religion says. Not what Pastor Spencer says. Not what his tabernacle believes. We need to know what the Bible says. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It just shows all the older people, hallelujah. Many summer VBSs. Okay, so let's talk about the word baptism. So to be baptized, the word baptized actually means in the Greek to be overwhelmed or fully wet. So the biblical principle for water baptism is not sprinkling. To be water baptized biblically means that your body is completely submerged under the water. That means baptismo. Now, it also, for instance, a spendthrift is said to be submerged in debt. A drunk is said to be submerged in drink. A grief-stricken person is said to be submerged in sorrow. A lad before a cross-examining teacher is said to be submerged in questions. The word is regularly used for a ship that has been wrecked and submerged beneath the waves. So this is the true meaning of water baptism is not that you get your knees wet, not that you get your nose wet, but that every hair on your head and every part of your body is completely submerged underneath the water. That's the true meaning of water baptized. Now, Jesus did this. We see it in Mark chapter 1, 9 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus himself was baptized, completely submerged, fully wet in water. How many of you know if it's good enough for Jesus? If it's good enough for Jesus, you're not too excited about that. If it's good enough for Jesus,
good enough for me.
Amen. So it's important. Oh, somebody else is watching. 585. Who's 585? Is that Rochester? Who is it? Is it Michael? Come on, send me a text back. Who was watching? Come on, somebody, tell me who you are, 585, or I'll give everybody your phone number. Okay, here we go. So this shows that Jesus was not sprinkled. When he went to the River Jordan, he was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus was not sprinkled with water. He was literally completely submerged under the water and came out. Now, this is important for us because Jesus is our example. So if Jesus did it, that's how we do it. Christ showed what the Father did. How many of you remember Jesus declared, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, "I only do what the Father has told me to do." So if this did not please God, if this was not what God wanted done, then the Spirit of God would not have descended upon him like a dove, and the Father would not have spoken and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He would have said, "Dunk him, submerge him," but he didn't. Because Jesus did what the Father told him to do. So water baptism is always by submersion. Now, here's a great question because a lot of people have this question. Do I need to be baptized to go to heaven? And the answer is
no.
Now, remember I told you there was a church that says if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, you can't go to heaven. So they actually have three rules for you to be able to go to heaven. This is a church right down the road. They believe that you got to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number two, you got to speak in other tongues. And number three, you got to be baptized, fully submerged in the name of Jesus only. It's only if you do those three things that you can go to heaven. And I want you to know that is not true. Water baptism does not get you to heaven. I remember one time I was at a hospital visit in Ithaca when I was pastoring up in that area, and there was an old woman. I'm talking like she was quite elderly, and I don't remember her age, but she was dying. Ultimately, she was dying. She was in bed. They weren't going to let her out. She died like 2 days after I was there. So we went. I led her to the Lord Jesus Christ in her bed, and she said, "I've got to get up," and she's trying to get out of bed. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I've got to be baptized or I can't go to heaven." And I said, "No, honey, you don't need to be water baptized." She said, "But I that's what I was taught. I have to be water baptized or I can't go to heaven." And I said, "No, water baptism does not get you to heaven, and you can stay in your bed." If water baptism was mandatory to go to heaven, then every prisoner who got saved would be going to hell. There's only one prison right now, I believe, or the beginning prison, was Elmira Prison. We actually had the very first water baptisms. Most prisons do not have a water baptismal option. So every prisoner that gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're in a prison that does not offer water baptism, according to other people's doctrines, it doesn't matter that they accepted Jesus, doesn't matter that they were converted, that their life was changed, but because they're not baptized, because they can't be baptized, they can't go to heaven. And that's just a lie. We need to know that. You need to get that in your spirit. You don't go to heaven because you're water baptized. Paul was irate. Remember, we talked about this last week in the book of Galatians chapter 1, when the Judaizers came in and said, "Listen, Paul's right. You got to be saved by Jesus, but you also have to be circumcised." He said, "If you've added anything, anybody that comes in and adds anything, let him be accursed to the gospel." So Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's all you got to know. That's the best part, is that salvation is easy. Amen. And salvation is free. Amen. You can't work at it. You'll never be good enough for it. Your works of righteousness are as filthy rags. Amen. You can never clean yourself up good enough for it. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he promises to save you. That means he changes you from the inside out. Water baptism is not part of that mandate. So if I don't need to go get water baptized to go to heaven, then what is water baptism all about? Why does the pastor push us to get water baptized? Well, I didn't know the pastor pushed us to get water baptized. Yes, get water baptized. I'm pushing you. Okay? There's a reason. You know what I love about the Lord is Jesus always came against tradition. In fact, he was the nicest guy in the world to sinners, but he really ripped up the religious folk. He'd look at him and say, you're full of the devil. He looked at others and says, you're just like your father, full of lies. He said one time, I think it was Matthew 23. He says, you know what? You're just like a whited sepulcher. You know what that is? It's a grave. You know, your outside looks really pretty. You got painted, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. He said to him again, well, I love this one too. He says, you know what? You clean the outside of the bowl, you make it look good, but you left the junk on the inside. You're just like your father, the serpent. I love Jesus, man. He was the best. I mean, he just tore these people up. Why? Because they were trying to give a false sense of security that if you did things religiously, you were going to go to heaven. So again, this is why we reiterate strongly in this house that water baptism will never get you to heaven. But yet, if water baptism will never get you to heaven, then why do we need to be water baptized? Why is it so important? Why did Jesus show us that it is important enough to be water baptized? And that's what we want to talk about right now. Because, you know, when you realize how powerful water baptism is, you realize how free you can be in Christ. You know, there are two types of believers. Believers that are free and believers that are bound. People that are free, they've had bondages in the past, situations in the past that held them down. Now they became free because of water baptism and the blood of Christ. And what happens is they don't live restrained and constrained anymore, but they live free in Christ. So let's talk about water baptism. That's right. You were just water baptized, right? Did you notice a difference? I'm serious. It is that powerful. Did you watch some of these young people when they got water baptized this last time?
Yeah, this was a good one.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, man, there was one young man. He could hardly stand in the water baptismal tank. Man, young men who you know aren't just running around crying all the time, tears streaming down their face, God touching their life. Why? Because there's a supernatural experience in the water baptismal tank. Water baptism does nothing for your spirit. Remember, you're a trichotomous being. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Say that with me. I am a spirit. That was almost everybody who was with me. Say it with me. I am a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. So I want to remind you about your trichotomous being. Your physical body, that's how we all recognize each other. But your physical body really is nothing more than something decaying. It is nothing more than a slave. It is nothing more than what obeys the real you. When you're not born again, the Bible says you're dead in your trespasses and sin. What does that mean? When you are not born again, you live completely out of your soulish man. Your spirit man is dead. So what is your soul? Your soul is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. You'll find that unbelievers live out of this well. Everything they are is about what they can deduce, what they feel, and no one's going to tell me what to do. Amen? That's the soul. But then you have your spirit. Your spirit is what makes us like God. The Bible says, Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man and in our image and in our likeness. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, and God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you and I have been created with a spirit. That spirit is eternal. Every human being is eternal. Every human being will live for eternity. Whether eternally saved or eternally damned, that is the decision of each individual. But when a person is not saved, their spirit man is dead in their trespasses and sin. The Bible says that they are no longer alive. Now, will they live for eternity? Absolutely. Because their spirit will live forever, yet it is dead to Christ. So to be born again changes everything. When you become born again, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, when you call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says a supernatural act happens. What happens? The Bible says that through the blood of Jesus, all your sins are washed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we become new people from the inside out. Our spirit man comes alive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now comes and dwells inside of you. You become the temple of the Holy Ghost. So now, literally, not figuratively, your spirit man is alive. Those that walk in the spirit will not fulfill the lusts of the soul. The word flesh and soul are synonymous. So what happens is when you're alive in your spirit man, who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Well, if the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of your spirit, can it get any better? Okay, let's say it one more time. If the Holy Spirit, who is God, dwells within your spirit, can your spirit get any better?
No.
I'm going to give you a quick little cheat answer. No! You can't get any better than when the Holy Spirit dwells. Who's the Holy Spirit? He is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are three yet one. So when you get saved, literally, God dwells inside of your spirit man. So therefore, you are a possessed being. I know we tell people to say that all the time, but the reason I tell you to say it all the time is because I want you to get it from your head to your spirit man, because when you start really recognize you're carrying Christ by the Holy Spirit, you live different. You don't do the same kind of things. Why? Because everything you do that's sin, you're bringing the Holy Ghost with you. Amen. So the issue here isn't your spirit. There's already been a supernatural change to your spirit when you got born again. So the issue with water baptism is your soulish man, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. If you have lived out of your intellect, your emotions, and your will, let's just say you didn't get saved for 24 years. Well, for 24 years, you lived out of your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Let's just say you didn't get saved till you were 50. So for 50 years, you learned how to live out of your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Now, let's say that you were a young child, and let's say you were 12 years old. Well, for 12 years, you lived out of your soulish man. So water baptism is geared specifically for one area of you. That's why you don't need it to go to heaven, but you need it to be free. Jesus Christ said that he'd make us free, and free indeed. The blood makes you free from sin, but water baptism breaks powerful things in your soulish man. So water baptism is for your soul. Now, the purpose of water baptism is to break the power of the flesh over our lives. Now, if you've never read Romans chapter 8, it is such a powerful chapter showing that your flesh and your spirit are at odds. Your intellect, your emotions, and your will are the enemy of God. Adam and Eve sinned when they stepped into their soul. Their intellect, it looked good. Their emotions, it felt good. Their will, pick it, eat it. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So the soul is that wild, wild man that lives inside of you. In fact, in Romans chapter 7, the end of it, it says, there's a war going on inside of me. Who can deliver me from this body of sin? The things I want to do, I don't end up doing. The things I don't want to do, you know, so on and so forth. Who can deliver me? Well, most Christians use that verse as their excuse to live sinful life. But they forgot to read the last portion of that verse. Who can deliver me from this body of sin? It says, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Jesus gives us victory over our soul. Amen. So the purpose of water baptism is to break the bondages that are in our soulish man so that we can be free. It's a supernatural experience. That's why I tell everybody, listen, you might have been water baptized before and you only got wet. So somebody said to me, can I get water baptized again? I said, absolutely. I said, because you got to know what you're receiving. If you have no expectation, you have no reception. What you don't expect, you can't receive. So if you expected to get wet, you got exactly what you received. You got wet. But if you go to the waters of baptisms knowing that Jesus Christ, when you hit that water, the anointing is going to destroy the power of the soul in your life, and you will now have victory over the soulish realm, and you don't have to be subject to it any longer. Amen. So when you get water baptized, you have to have an expectation. So what does it break in your soulish man? Well, there's something called soul ties. These are emotional relationships that are not godly and bring destruction rather than health. Some people, they've had soul ties with relationships with people they should never have had. Those soul ties will remain strong in your life. And what happens is when you go down to the water of baptism and you're declaring, I'm breaking every soul tie, that means when that person reappears in your life, you're not going to have the same emotions toward them because you've been broken free from that through the waters of baptism. There's another one called addictions. Addictions is so many different types, but addictions are not in your spirit. Addictions are in your soul. Drugs, alcohol, sexual addictions, anything that controls you besides Jesus, that's living out of your soul. So if you have lost control, it means your soul is trying to control you. And that soul does not have a right to control you anymore. We're going to show you that in the book of Romans chapter 6. When you go down for the power, go down for water baptism, when you go down, I want you to realize we won't baptize you unless we sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed there are a lot of times I just stand there for a while? The reason I stand there for a while is I'm waiting. Because you don't deserve to get wet. Right? Should absolutely. Well, we know this. If there was no anointing released, what destroys the yoke of bondage? The anointing. So if there's no anointing being released during the waters of baptism, what are you getting? Wet. So there must be the anointing. Now, you notice on Sunday when I did water baptism, I did a little bit different. I had the guys get wet, and I laid hands on them from the outside of the tank. I am getting smarter in my older age. Glory to God. No, the great part is I got these guys that now can get wet. I mean, glory to Jesus. I'm going to lay hands on everybody from the outside now. You know, but we pray over the water. We release the presence of God in the water. Well, the anointing is tangible, transferable. So we know when we release the anointing in the water, the molecules of water are absorbing that anointing, and when a person goes under the water of baptism, that the submersion of that anointing will break a person free. You'll notice that we lay hands on everybody. Even if I was in the tank, every single time I laid hands on. Well, why? I'm releasing the anointing. What am I releasing the anointing to do? To break the bondages of the soul, to heal wounds of the soul. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So what happens is that the brokenness happens where? It happens in the heart. Well, not the physical, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Not the physical heart. Well, what heart are we talking about if it's not the physical heart? It's the soul. Your emotions have been broken. You've been wounded. So it's something a doctor's scalpel can't touch. Medications can't fix. It's a broken heart. So when you're water baptized, the declaration is, if I have an addiction, I'm going to be free from my addiction. If I have a soul tie, I'm breaking the power of the soul tie in the name of Jesus. And if I have a broken heart, my soul has to be healed in Jesus' name. And when I get baptized and I come out, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 that I now have the newness of life. How many know the word new is a pretty good word? That word new literally means just like a brand new baby. Brand new baby. God can absolutely restore your soul. Oh, that's right. We say that psalm, don't we? He restoreth my soul. Word means reupholster. Transform. Like new. Receiving the engrafted word of God that sozos, heals, restores, saves my soul. You ever notice that in the book of James? He was talking to Christians. Why would they need their soul saved? They're already physically born again. They need their soul, intellect, emotions, and will transformed. So it's very powerful. Water baptism plays an enormous part in your walk with the Lord. And again, not that you have to do it to go to heaven. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7 says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism in death. That means when you go down in water, literally, not figuratively, literally, your soulish man is dying. The old man is dying. And when you come out of the water, you have newness. Everybody shout newness. Newness of life. How is that possible? Because it is a supernatural act of God. Water baptism 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 is a supernatural act of God. It is not getting wet. That's why we take so much time water baptizing. That's why we do it during the time of worship usually. Why? Because what does worship do? He inhabits the praises of his people. The stronger we can make this water baptism, the more supernatural we can make this water baptism, the freer the people become. Now, not everybody who gets water baptized gets free. There are people that have got in that water baptismal tank. We've laid hands on them, and you can feel the repulsion of the anointing. Where they don't want the anointing. They're getting water baptized. They're going under. But the anointing is not there. And they are repelling the anointing. Listen, I've had times when I've gone to go pray for somebody. We had a catcher. And I went to go lay hands. I laid hands on them. I released the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I felt the anointing go hit them and go around them. And it took out the catcher. Because you can repel the anointing. You can reject the anointing. And there are people that get into the water baptismal tank. We'll get back in the room after, to get changed to come out for service. And I'll say, did you see that number three? Got nothing? Yep, I felt it too. There was nothing there. Yeah, they don't receive. They're not interested. They just got bad. They got wet. They had no expectation. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. So when you expect, you activate faith. Well, we talked about faith last week. Everything we get from God is by faith. So when a person goes to the water baptismal tank and there is no faith released to receive the freedom in the soulish man, that what ends up happening is they get nothing but wet. It's really sad for me, because literally we'll go back and we'll say number three and number six. Yep, I know. Because you can actually sense when the anointing is being repelled. So it's really interesting. So water baptism is this supernatural act of God. Therefore, you were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk. Everybody shout walk. That means your life is different. Walk in newness of life. Excuse me. For we've been united together in the likeness of death, even so we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. It means your old life is crucified. That means when you went down in the waters of baptism, it was crucified. That means your old man no longer has power when you come up. That's great until you need an excuse. Well, the devil made me do it. Nope. Well, I got no control. Nope. You got all the control in the world. There's no sin that you can't overcome. Especially once you've been water baptized. Because you've been freed. I mean, free and free indeed. From that point, every sin is a choice. The devil made me do it, did not work. Well, I'm weak. Nope, sorry. Newness. You're a totally different person. The old man was crucified. The only way the old man can be crucified is if you resurrect him. Let's ponder that one for a little bit now. That means here you are, you're free. But you keep hanging around with the same people. They give you an offer. You take the offer. Boom. You start right back in the old man. Who raised the dead man? You did. I have this young lady that, we love very deeply. The other day I'm talking to her and she said, I don't understand why I keep going down and getting up. Well, I said, baby, that's called the roller coaster. I said, you got to choose who you hang with. You hang with the wrong people, bad company corrupts good morals. Yeah. Oh, that was the Bible, by the way. It's found in Corinthians. You got to be careful who you hang with. You don't take a crucified body, you don't take a dead body and bring them to the bar with you. You get in trouble. You get in trouble in the spirit when you take a dead body to the bar with you, too. Yeah, they get mad. They like you the old way. They want you to go to hell with them. You got to make choices. Yeah, you have to make choices in life. When you are free, your old man is crucified, you have to make decisions whether you want to resurrect that beast or not. Because it's dead. The only way it can resurrect is if you bring it to life. We should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So when we get baptized, things change in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. And you were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked. Everybody shout, once. He's no longer the same. So Romans 6 said, you have newness of life. You walk in the newness of life. Ephesians says, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. That's why when people tell me they're not saved, really, they're Satanists. What? A person that's not born again is a Satanist. Well, I don't run around pentagrams naked, sacrificing virgins. No, you might not do that, but your father does. Who's your daddy? When you live out of the old man, the dead man, the crucified man, you go back and start living for the devil. It's a choice. Now, I've never figured this out. No, not that I'm perfect in any way, shape, or form. I make poor decisions as well, like everybody does. You don't? Oh, I do. No, really, I do. My wife would tell you. Sometimes I lose my temper, and it's rare, but I got issues. Anybody else have issues in the room? Good, you just made me feel better. Glory to God. Here we are. We have the choice. When sin is presented to us, that dead man has no right to respond to it. Now, I remember going to a Russian Orthodox church funeral. And it's customary in that you got to kiss the dead body. So everybody's coming around and kissing the dead body. Well, I'm sorry. I don't even know the guy. I'm not kissing him. But they're kissing that man, but I want you to know something. He's not feeling a thing. You could take a needle and poke him, and he's not going to say, ouch. You could even tip over the casket, and guess what's going to happen? He's not getting up. Why? He's dead. You can take his greatest temptation of life, and you can wave it in front of his face, and guess what he's going to say? Nothing. He's dead. So our old man has been crucified. We walk in newness of life. So when sin comes to us, the only way for us to respond to sin, this is good teaching right now, the only way for us to respond to sin is if we allow life to come to our soul. When we allow ourselves to be controlled by our soul, then sin comes to life. Because Romans 8, the soul is the enemy of God. So we make choices and we make decisions. But when you've been water baptized, that crucified man only has a right to get up if you give it the right to get up. Now, somebody that's not saved, I don't know. I'm never shocked when they cuss, when they swear. I'm never shocked when they steal. I'm never shocked when they cheat on their spouse. I'm never shocked when they do all the foul things. Why would you be shocked when they're doing the foul things of the world? That's their nature. They're being run by their soul. But I'm always shocked when the believer does that. Why? Because we don't have to. It's choice. Every time sin comes to us, it's a choice to live that way or not live. To get the man out of the casket or to keep him in. And when you've been water baptized, you can walk in newness of life. You know, children are taught. They don't have to be taught to sin. Everybody knows that, right? Remember when your child looked at you and said, no! You didn't have to teach them the word no. You didn't teach them rebellion. They just knew it. They're good at it. We're dealing with that with Sophia already. She has no problems. We told her the other day, don't go in there. Don't. We had a spot we didn't want her to touch, didn't want her to go near. She just simply did it anyways. Oh, Grandma got a hold of her. Because you can't allow the flesh to rule. You've got to always bring it back to the casket. Amen. As a Christian, that's not normal for you. Turn to someone and say, sin is not normal. Say, soul ties are not normal. Shout, addictions are not normal. Emotional hurts are not normal. When you've been water baptized, those are not normal anymore. It's not. That's choice. When you got saved, you became partakers of divine nature. God's very personality dwells inside of you. The word newness literally means this. It's a new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us to produce a new state, which is eternal life. You are a brand new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New. What's new mean? New. That's right, not old. When you buy something used, it is used. When you buy something new, it has never been used. No, if it has been used, what do? No, I bring it back. Excuse me, I paid for a new item, and I've done that before. You know, you buy something that's in the box, you get it back, and you can see that some... What did I buy? It was a computer, I think. Bought a computer, brought it back to the house, and there were pieces missing. I brought it back, and I said, I thought you said this was new. Oh, it's refurbished. That's not new. God did not refurbish you. He made you new. You're not a refurbished product here. You are a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. All things become new. The old man is crucified. So therefore, getting water baptized plays a large part in your walk with the Lord. And it's very important. Again, you don't need to be water baptized to go to heaven. We had a lady one time. She refused to get water baptized because she was a heavier woman. And she was afraid her clothes would stick to her body. And she chose not to get water baptized. Let me tell you, she has struggled with her soul her entire Christian life. Struggled consistently with it. Listen, I've come to a conclusion. I could care what anybody thinks or says. If I can get something, I want it from God. I don't care what it costs. I don't care if they got to look at my boobies or what they got to look at. I want what God has. And baby, let me tell you. Jesus, help us all. That's why I wear suit jackets. Hides a multitude of sins. Glory to Jesus. Yeah, it's a lot of information. I became really just open to the world. It's everywhere now. I can't hide from it. But it's true. You got to make a choice. I don't have white legs. I have translucent legs. Who was I talking? I was talking to somebody the other day, and it was Pastor Obi. He's at my house yesterday. And, you know, my upper body's all tanned, and, you know, my hair, my face is tanned, my arms are tanned, my shoulders tanned. And he looked at me, he looked down at my legs, and he goes, that looks like a different human being. But it's true. So here we are. You got to make a choice. Do you really care what people think or say? And if you do, you need to be water baptized because that means your soul is still in control. If you've not been baptized, you need to be water baptized. Now, I know folks that have backslidden, walked away from God, come back to the Lord and said, should I be baptized again? I said, absolutely, man. You picked up some mess on the way. You know, you need to get free. You know, you got clutter in your pockets. You know, you need to be free. You know, you picked up a soul tie here or there. You picked up an addiction or you picked up a wound. Christ calls you free. Amen? So will water baptism get you to heaven?
No.
Do you need to be water baptized to go to heaven? No. You only need to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But water baptism is a supernatural enactment of power upon your soulish man to make you new. Amen? Turn to someone and say, I deserve to be new. Amen. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
The people you baptized and you could tell didn't receive it, do you tell them?
No. They know. Oh, yeah, they know. And that's why their reactions are very minimal. Yeah, it's really interesting. Because if you've been in that water baptismal tank, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, the anointing in there is strong. And what happens is when somebody gets in there and nullifies the anointing, it just goes dead. It goes cold in there. That's why after... See, now I'm going to tell my secrets. That's why after somebody doesn't receive, you'll find me take more time before I let the next person get baptized. It's almost like recharging the water. Just charge up God, fill this with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you'll see me stand there and I'll place my hand on them, and sometimes I'll stand there for a long time. It might be that the worship team dropped a song and they're starting a new song. And I felt the height of the anointing drop. Well, I'll wait for that anointing to rise again before I'll baptize them. They don't deserve to get wet. They deserve to get free. So a lot of pastors, they'll just dunk everybody. Zoom, 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 zoom.
That happened when I got baptized. They switched songs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But then, as soon as the song ramped up again, then
you feel the anointing.
Yeah, you could feel it go immediately.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very particular. And I don't care how long the baptismal takes. You know, if you've come to have God change your life, who am I just to push you through? You know, this is not a cycle machine. This is, let's get people free and free indeed. So if you see, in fact, now you'll watch. If you'll see where all of a sudden things just stop in the baptismal tank, it's either because the anointing dropped and we're going to bring it back up, or because the person doesn't want to receive, we'll dunk them quick, we'll get them out, and we'll get ready for the next one. You'll find that because that's how important it is. It is not a game. It is not a ritual. It is a supernatural experience from God. And just like salvation was supernatural for you, water baptism must be supernatural for you. Amen? Questions? Anybody online? Paul Musi, got any questions? Whoever you are from Rochester? Who are you? Oh. Still enjoying listening to you. Oh, stop. Oh, it's Tina Wilbur. She's not from Rochester, but she sits right there usually. Paul Musi. Mike Taylor. Yeah, up in Rochester. There you are, buddy. We love you, Mike Taylor. All right. Anybody got any questions? Amen. Good.